and specifically having peace in our life. I got to watch this, I think. Move it down a little more. We looked at a number of scriptures in John 14:27 specifically. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. And we talked about how the troubles in our life and the fears in our life rob us of peace. We talked about different kinds of peace, specifically spiritual peace, that is peace with God. We talked about emotional peace, which is the peace of God. And we talked about relational peace, that is the peace we have with other people, the people we come in contact with every day. Then we discussed five keys to having peace or acquiring peace in our life. And we discussed obeying God's principles, accepting His pardon, focusing on His presence, trusting God's purpose, and asking for God's peace. In Philippians 4, the writer tells us not to be anxious, to pray. And when we're stressed and anxious, it robs us of our peace. So the antidote is pray. You will not experience true and lasting peace until Christ is in control of your life. Peace is not a trouble-free life, but it is being able to be calm and tranquil through the trials and the troubles that you have in this life. Today, we're going to talk about developing your patience. And I need to confess straight up, I'm not very good at peace. I think I've been living a stress-filled life so long, I've just kind of become immune to it. And it's so important to acquire peace. And as we go through this lesson, I want you to notice how interrelated these fruits of the Spirit are. That is, one has in common with others, that one leads to another, that some have some dependency on the other fruits. Pay attention to that. But we're going to talk about the four I's today. We're going to talk about a root cause for impatience, and we're going to talk about how to become more patient. And again, I need to confess that I'm not a very patient person. Patience is not one of my strengths. So, you know, it's ironic that I stand before you and try and lead you in a discussion or a thought process about patience. Patience is a most useful virtue. It is something we need every day, everywhere, every hour. Think about that. We need it all the time. Impatience is a very destructive thing. Proverbs 16:32, better a patient man than a warrior, a man who controls his temper than one who takes a city. I'm not going to talk a lot about losing your temper, although that's a response to impatience. I'm not going to spend a lot of time there. First off, we want to talk about tests of our patience. So we want to have a little fun. We want to understand what is the trigger to our impatience so that we can have a better understanding on how to address becoming more patient. So we're going to look at four questions. And as we discuss these questions, I want you to score yourself, okay? If you think you do well at a question, you would answer 5. If you do very poorly, a 1. So you score yourself from 1 to 5 based on how you think you are with that question. You understand? Everybody got it? And when we get to the end, we'll total up the score and we'll have a metric to describe how patient you think you are. I don't think the math will overwhelm you. There's only 4 responses here, okay? The first one is interruptions. How do you handle interruptions? How do you handle interruptions? Now, I didn't look at these slides beforehand. Sometimes we have a little conversion issue, but I want to point to that little box up there in the right-hand corner. That's just to jog your memory, okay? So, anyway, it didn't format quite right, and I didn't look at it before we got into this. How do you handle interruptions? Our best laid plans are often interrupted, aren't they? You know, for example, Ken's on his way to the lake with the truck to go fishing, and the truck breaks down. You're at the boarding gate fixing to get on a plane and you can't find your photo ID. You're in an interrupted situation there. You may miss your flight. You are trying to cook dinner and all the kids want your attention. They're all tugging at you. They want to know this. They want you to do this or that. You moms know what I'm talking about. Matthew 19 and 13. Jesus says, the passage says, then the little children were brought to Jesus for him to place his hands on them and pray for them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. You see, the disciples lost patience. They didn't think this was something that this was, or they thought this was an interruption to Jesus. But Jesus didn't say that. He said, bring the little children unto me. So how do you handle interruptions? Have you got a score for yourself? If you got to pencil it down, pencil it down, but remember it, okay? How do you handle inconveniences? And the first thing I want to tell you is some of us will call interruptions inconveniences or vice versa. And many of these I's are interchangeable. But I want you to understand these are the triggers of impatience. How do you handle inconveniences? Think about it while I get to the right page. We live in fast times, don't we? Instant this, instant that. And we hate to wait. Well, at least I do. And I'm sure many of you get in that situation where you just hate to wait. We have a culture that doesn't like to wait. Our expectations really are extraordinary. If you think about some of us that are a little older, you know, I constantly am reminded that I used to have to write out a memo and take it down to word processing and have them type it up, and then I had to proof it, and then I had to get them to release it. And oh, then it went in the mail. Okay? Today, you think it, you write it, you hit send. Things have changed. Our expectations have changed with it. We expect things to just happen. So what do you do when things don't go as planned? Look at Luke. Luke 10, verse 40. Yeah. It's a very, very good point. In fact, I have a whole presentation for my employees, and I send it to them all the time to remind them, write it, read it, don't say anything in there that you would regret. I mean, make sure of what you say. So don't get impatient and get in a hurry. That's when you make mistakes, and some of those mistakes are very catastrophic. And if you're familiar with Goldman Sachs, there was four gentlemen that had to testify this past week about their emails, and they were constantly going back and forth with things they wrote in their emails. Luke 10:40, but Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him, that is Jesus, and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Now, Jesus was at the home of Lazarus and Martha and Mary, and Martha was focused on the preparations, and Mary wouldn't help her. She became inconvenienced. She became frustrated with Mary's behavior, but that wasn't what Jesus thought. Jesus said, Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. So how do you handle inconveniences? Have you got your score? Make a mental note. What's the score? The next I is irritations. How do you handle irritations? These are things that bug you. These are the little annoyances in life. And ironically, sometimes it's people. You know, sometimes it's a person that bugs you or bothers you, that annoys you. Sometimes it's other things like traffic jams, long lines, have you ever lost your keys? Little things, delayed flights. I'm always amazed in my travels at the individual that's up there at the gate, at the desk, just giving the poor attendant a tongue lashing because the plane is late. you know, and their life is messed up. They've become irritated, and they're behaving badly, and everybody's standing around watching them behave badly, you know, and we all formulate our opinions about it. Numbers 20 and verse 10, he, that is Moses, and Aaron gathered the assembly together in front of the rock, and Moses said to them, "Listen, you rebels, must we bring water or bring you water out of this rock?" Moses lost his patience here, or that's my interpretation. God punished him for this. He didn't let him enter the promised land. So being able to maintain our patience is very important. Very important. Learn to respond to your irritations in a positive way. How do you handle inactivity? How do you handle inactivity? We hate to wait, don't we? We admire patience in the driver that is behind us, but not in the driver that is ahead of us. In other words, he's not going fast enough. He's reckless, but that guy behind me is too close to me. He better back off. Proverbs 19 and 2, it is not good to have zeal without knowledge, nor to be hasty and miss the way. So how do you handle inactivity? So have you got your four scores? Can you total them up? You can't get a zero. I don't know who it was that asked that. If you rank yourself poorly on all of them, you at least score four, okay? At least score four. All right. Here's the assessment. If you scored yourself 4 to 7, well, we have a lot of work to do, but we still have hope. If you scored yourself 8 to 12, well, that's a good assessment in my opinion. You really did a good job. At least you're being honest with yourself from my point of view. Okay, if you scored yourself okay on all four of them, that would be a 12, right? Now, if you scored yourself 13 to 16, I'm going to suggest that patience is not this easy. It really isn't. You need someone to give you some constructive input. So you better turn to someone you love and ask them, how did you score or how would you score me? Now, did anybody score themselves more than 16? Anybody? Are you human? Okay, well, 14's okay, okay. I don't know, one of you needs to give the other constructive input. But if you're 17 to 20, you need to be reminded that you are human. Try walking on water, okay? I'm trying to have a little fun with this, as well as make you aware that there are triggers to our impatience. And the important takeaway here is that patience is not easy, and all of us are subject to impatience. We all know when we lose our patience. And it produces a unchristian response, typically. And I apologize for the formatting. I got busy doing some other things, and it didn't come across quite right. Question, which test of patience are you having the most trouble with right now? Is it interruptions, inconveniences, irritations, or inactivity? I'll assure you that we all struggle with at least one of these. One of these is a trigger for us. The four eyes test our patience, but they're not necessarily the root cause. Okay? So I want you to think about what is the root cause for impatience. Got any suggestions? Selfishness, she says. That is very good, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. Selfishness. What else might be a root cause for impatience? You need to think about other people, their point of view, right? Their perspective. I heard something else. Lifestyle? Explain. You get caught up in the world. Yeah, the world and its pace. And you're not focused on God and His presence. Very good. Any other ideas? Yes, ma'am. Say again? Lack of communication. We don't talk. We don't... That's right. It's a good point. We don't know what's going on. And so sometimes when we lose our patience, it gets back to this selfishness, doesn't it? We're focused on our agenda, our timeline. Well, there's one more. And I want to suggest that it's a lack of peace. All of these are good. And in fact, I think they're relevant. I came up with them myself. But at the fundamental level, it's a lack of peace. You know, we talked about peace last week. And if you put peace into your life, it will help you be a more patient person. Colossians 3:15, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Now, I want to give you four suggestions on how to become a more patient person. And the first one is to develop a new perspective. Gets right back to Louis' comment. Proverbs 14 and 29. A patient man has great understanding, but a quick-tempered man displays folly. I want you to realize that, like so many things, it begins in our mind. Okay? It's about what we think. Change the way you view certain situations. That is, take on the other person's perspective. Find a new way to look at the problem. Too often we only see ourselves, and often the root cause is selfishness. It's about my desires, it's about my agenda, it's about my goals and my wants. And I apologize once again for the formatting here. Learn to see things from other people's point of view. Now, there's another important twist to this. Proverbs 19:11, a man's wisdom gives him patience. It is to his glory to overlook an offense. We need to see life from God's perspective also. We need to try to, and we do that through His Word and understanding what He's telling us. God is in control of our life. He's in control of our circumstances. Proverbs 20 and 24, a man's steps are directed by the Lord. Patience is a mark of maturity. So, as a first step, we want to develop a new perspective. Learn to see things from other people's point of view and learn to see things from God's perspective. The second suggestion is to acquire a sense of humor. What does humor do for us? It lightens us. It dissolves the tension in our lives. We need to develop a sense of humor. If you can laugh at yourself, if you can laugh at your circumstances, you're probably going to get by. You need to learn to laugh at certain things. Sometimes, especially when you're impatient, especially when you lose control. Think about it. Humor is a tension dissolver in times of stress. My family perceives stress in me all the time, and my son went out and got us tickets to go see Jeff Foxworthy for Christmas. I don't know if you've seen Jeff Foxworthy, maybe on the TV, but the man's humor is very wholesome, but he is extraordinarily funny. I laughed so hard, I hurt. I couldn't breathe. I wanted to go, time out. I need to catch up here. I'm hurting too bad. But the laughter was very, very good for me. It's good for you physically, and it's good for you emotionally. Learn to laugh. Laughter is good. Develop a sense of humor. One of the other things I've done is I've tried to be very deliberate about putting humor into my life. So I went out and found a comic strip. So I read a comic strip every day. And this is Calvin and Hobbes. Anybody know who Calvin and Hobbes is? A few of you? Be deliberate and put humor into your life. This particular comic strip is making fun of our impatience and our irresponsibility. If you'd been reading it, you'd know that Calvin, who's the little boy, had made a mail order for a beanie. He'd ate a bunch of cereal, and he sent off for this beanie on the back of his cereal box. And it took days and weeks to come. And so we've been going through this series of his impatient responses. And it's very interesting. Just look at the last frame there. This last frame, but he says, but considering my life is in shambles right now, couldn't you at least take the blame? Often that's one of our responses to when we're impatient. We want to blame somebody else. It can't be me, right? Can't be my fault. It helps to see ourselves from a different perspective, and this comic strip actually helps me do that. Put a little humor in your life. Thirdly, we need to deepen our love. Simply put, 1 Corinthians 13 and 4, part of the definition of love is patient. Love is patient. When I'm impatient, I'm actually being an unloving person. I'm not showing love. When you love someone, you care about their needs. You see things from their perspective. You're not selfish. If you're filled with anger, almost anything can provoke you. And this next bullet, when you're under pressure, whatever is inside of you is going to come out. So deepen your love. Work on love. You see how interrelated these fruits of the Spirit are? They relate to each other. Ephesians 4:2, become completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. You know, we don't have to like a person, but we do have to love a person. Part of loving requires patience. Fourth, we want to depend on God. Psalms 37 and 7, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. So the final step that I'm suggesting to becoming more patient is learn to depend on God. Patience is not just about your own personal self-control. You're not going to be able to do it all by yourself. You need to depend on God. Waiting patiently demonstrates our faith, and faith pleases God. If you think about it, Moses wandered in the desert for 40 years before he could lead the Israelites to the Promised Land. So he waited patiently for 40 years. Noah waited more than 100 years for the rain to come. Patience. It's an expectation of God. Okay, I'm going to ask Mark to read this. Let me set it up while he's getting ready. This is the story of the death of Lazarus. And as you know, Mary and Martha send word to Jesus asking him to come. Because it's apparent to me that they believed he was going to die. And they knew that Jesus could heal him. And so they want him to come and be there. Mark?
So the sisters sent word to him saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. But when Jesus heard this, he said, the sickness is not to end in death, but for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified by it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he then stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was.
Okay, thank you. And as you know, by the time Jesus got to Lazarus' home, Lazarus had already been dead several days. And Martha and Mary were very distraught. They were grieving. So it would appear that Jesus was late. God is never late, though. He just has a different schedule. He has a different timeline than we do. You know, in our expectations in life, because we're selfish by nature, we develop these expectations. We also think that we are in control. And we further develop expectations about our life and when things are supposed to happen and what and how they're supposed to play out. God is never late, though. God is never late. He wants us to trust in Him and wait on Him. He wants us to be patient. And that's a lesson. It sounds easy, doesn't it? But you know and I know that patience is very, very difficult to accomplish in our life. We need it every day. We need it everywhere. We need it every hour. It may be the most useful virtue of them all. Patience is tested by the four I's. That is interruptions, irritations, inactivity, and inconveniences. And sometimes those are interchangeable. You know, what I call an inconvenience, you may call an interruption. When you have peace in your heart, there is little that makes you impatient. So you need to work on developing your peace as well as your patience. Become a more patient person by learning to see things from other people's perspective. Yes? important things in life. Yeah. We tend to do that. Jill is saying we get focused on our lives and the pace of life, and we get caught up in the worldly things, and it distracts us from the important things in life. I've had employees who have sick spouse, sick kids, and they come to me and they say, John, I really need to be at home, and I look at them and I tell them there are things more important than this job. Go be with whoever, you know. And we need to understand that. There are things more important than our schedule and all the things we get caught up in daily. Good point. Yes. Tyrone is suggesting that patience is all impatience is always near, and that we require patience. He's referred back to Cain and Abel, and the scripture tells us that we need to master it. That's a good point. Dan? That's an excellent point. Dan is suggesting that we need to pay attention to big events in our life and understand that maybe sometimes those circumstances are allowed by God, and we need to re-examine our life and how we're living. Good point. Anything else? Yeah, Elton. Yeah. Good. I thought about that very topic, just in wondering to myself as I prepared the lesson, how patient has God been with us? How patient has He been with me? I mean, this is personal, and I want to remind all of you that this class is very personal. Okay? It's not about me and you guys. It's about you and God. Okay, growing spiritually is about bearing fruit, and we're talking about fruit of the Spirit today, specifically patience. We need to develop our patience. We're about done here, and I want to call your attention to this one verse. I always give you a memory verse, and I really don't know that any of you memorize it, unless you already know it, but I want you to meditate on it. It's a way of giving you an assignment each week and saying, look, just remember this one verse and think about it, okay? Ephesians 4:2, be completely humble and gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love. If you look at it, there are five fruits of the Spirit mentioned in this one verse. Okay, we find them in different places, but they are all very similar, and they're interrelated. Be completely humble, that's humility. Gentle, that's gentleness. Be patient. Bearing with one another. Forbearing. That comes from Colossians 3. And love. Love we find in many places mentioned as a fruit. They're interrelated. And, you know, Ken's been doing a marvelous job laying out a picture of salvation to us. And he's been talking, he threw up an equation last week. He said grace plus faith equals salvation. Okay? And he's trying to help us understand where works fit in. And he described works as being part of faith. Well, if you remember 2 Peter 1, we're to add to our faith these fruits of the Spirit. So these fruits of the Spirit I see personally as enablers to the works. They actually have to come somewhat before the works. Because you're not going to have the knowledge, you're not going to have the motivation, you're not going to be able to do the works necessarily, not Christian works, without these enablers. Think about that. Meditate on this verse this week. Anything else before we close? Yeah. Well, you know, and going back to 2 Peter chapter 1, he says, I'm going to remind you of this stuff all the time. Every chance I get, I'm going to remind you of it. It's important. It is very important. That was his mission, was to remind the brethren in the first century about faith and specifically what to add to our faith. Y'all have a good week. Thank you for your comments.